Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Yeah, she's my friend. She's a well-respected co-worker. She is Cameron Justice of News Channel 5, joining me right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Cam, first of all, good morning. You are blessed enough to be in Atlanta this morning, getting ready for the national championship game. You know, you're in Atlanta on MLK Day. Let's start here. You know, what does MLK Day mean to you?
Oh, it's amazing, right? Like, just to have a day that everybody takes a moment and really reflects and respects the work that Martin Luther King Jr. did. These are the holidays, right? And it's, some people don't work, but it's a day where you can just think about these things and see the change that he was able to make. It's inspiring. And so to be in Atlanta, and you see statues and signs and paintings and murals, and he's everywhere here. So it's a special Martin Luther King Jr. Day for me, because it's my first time in Atlanta, and to be here on this day is extra cool.
Hey, Atlanta is beautiful. The food is amazing. I don't know how long you're there. I hope you've been in Papa Do's while you're there. It's this place, Yellow Mellow Pizza. They're really, really good too. I can go. I'm gonna text you after this interview.
Please give me a list of recommendations. Make sure that I don't have to walk anywhere though, because despite being south of Ohio, I am freezing. It is so cold here, and I'm very glad. I know, very controversial in Cleveland, but I am very glad that this game is being played in a dome.
Oh man, oh, I just bet. I just bet. I heard the Mercedes-Benz Dome is a beautiful place and things and whatnot. Let's start with Ohio State. What is the atmosphere like, right? We are heavy favorites, which is kind of scary to me. But, you know, you got Marcus Freeman, Ohio native like you and I, former Buckeye, you know, first black guy to actually coach his team in the national championship game. So it's a historic day for him, leading a story program, like the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, against a story program like our Ohio State Buckeyes. Like, this is a clash of the titans history wise, but it looks like on paper Ohio State is going to dominate.
Yeah, it does, but you never know, right? Once you're here, you never know. And Notre Dame has earned this spot. They have fought really hard to be here, and we know that Ohio State is a powerhouse. They've been a powerhouse this season, aside, you know, from a moment that a lot of people don't want to think about anymore. And so I think on paper, Ohio State has this game. But anything can happen, and you have to make sure you are coaching your best and your players are performing the way that they do. Don't do anything too crazy. We know it works with this team. But I do think it could be a good game. I think I don't foresee Notre Dame rolling over. I think that they will obviously fight, and I'm excited for hopefully some good football. But I think it's really a really cool matchup for when college football playoffs started. I texted some friends and I was like, you know what? I really hope we get Ohio State Notre Dame. How crazy would that be? And here we are. So I'm excited. I got some friends who are Fighting Irish fans that I'm kind of making sure I am throwing some jabs at.
Yeah, man, it's going to be a fun game to watch. I just hope we come away victorious. I'll be joined by Tyvus Powell in the next hour, and Tyvus is the last one who actually won a national championship, so hopefully he can paint the scene for us. Let's move on to the Browns, and speaking of, you know, colleges and drafts and things like that, you know, there's been mixed evaluations from experts when it comes to Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. In your opinion, would either quarterback be a good fit for the Browns considering their current roster and offensive systems?
It's so hard to say. And I think we've talked about this before. It's just, yeah, I think that where the Browns are at right now, they have every opportunity to select one of those guys and still take a veteran quarterback and maybe help shape these guys. I don't know if they are looking at Sanders and Ward and thinking one of these guys is ready to go right now off the jump. They could be. I do think that we've seen, aside from one quarterback, we've seen Kevin Stefanski and his offense really be able to get the most out of guys. And I believe that if they did draft either one of them, the Browns would be in a good position, and they'd be able to see where they're at. And Stefanski, I think, in his offense and the way he operates, would be really good for that. And I do think that maybe a shift back to a similar offense from before last season would be good for either player. But I am still not sure if they do draft them, if they trade back and take another player and focus on a quarterback next year is still an option. It remains to be seen, but I think that they are in a place as an organization that either one could be developed in this offense and with the system that they have, if it's back to where it was before last season.
That's interesting. That's an interesting reply, you know, because I think over the last week, maybe week or two, we've heard Myles Garrett on Hard Knocks say, you know, I've talked to Andrew Berry and I don't feel like we're that far away. Denzel Ward comes out and says, you know, if we just solidify the quarterback position, then we're not that far away. We can make a run at things. And to hear your response to that, you know, I just wonder what was the message? What was the conversation between Andrew Berry and some of these veteran leaders on this team at that end of the season meeting? Because guys who were searching for a plan seemingly came away or walked away convinced that, you know what, Andrew Berry has one.
I'm sure he has a plan. And I think that they are close. I truly do. When guys like that are talking about the quarterback position, and it's not just those vets, it's the, you know, end of the season locker clean out. You had Joel Bitonio saying the same thing. You had Jack Conklin saying the same thing, that, you know, they did too much to fit around one player, and that was the quarterback. And so I don't necessarily think that Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward saying we have to figure out this quarterback situation and being satisfied with the plan from Andrew Berry indicates quite literally anything, to be honest. But what I think it does is I think the Browns have, as a franchise, as an organization, have finally been able to admit that this trade for Deshaun Watson didn't work. And now the plan, whatever it may be, whether it's drafting the quarterback with the number two pick or going out and bringing someone in that they believe can get them to that next step, just at least for now, I think that there is a confidence that the Browns are going to do something to address that quarterback position. And that probably is enough for a lot of these guys just to know that there's a focus, because for the past, you know, three seasons, it hasn't been the case. They made their move to get Deshaun Watson and wanted it to work, and then it didn't, and wanted it to work again, and it didn't. So now I think the plan just has to be addressing that position in some capacity and moving on from a failed attempt and what hasn't been a successful situation at quarterback despite the best efforts and the hopes after trading for Watson.
This morning we've been, you know, having a spirited conversation about Andrew Berry's track record when it comes to drafting players. I'm just going to try to set this up before I let you cook. But, you know, as I was having this conversation, I was one of the people that, you know, the fan of me came out and I said emotionally, I said, you know, I don't know who's calling the shots. I don't know who's pulling the strings. But, you know, since Kevin and Andrew Berry keep telling me this is the collective effort, then both of y'all asses need to collectively be fired for what happened last year. Now, that didn't happen. And since then, I've kind of walked back those comments because I respect them both as people. And you never really feel that comfortable calling for somebody's job. This morning, I went over assessing everything that comes with his job and looking at everything that he's done as a general manager. He's developed front office guys that has went on and got jobs elsewhere, right? He's created a culture of you know, stability and growth and development and other areas that are not necessarily on the football field. And when it comes to acquiring talent, I think he's masterful at trades. I think that's his best way. I think when it comes to spending money and free agency, I think he's blew a little bit of money that I look at, you know, John Johnson III, Troy Hill, just to be examples. But when I look at the drafts, Cam, he's been average to me. And I look at that and I say, okay, with him, the good still outweighs the bad. How much faith do you have in Andrew Berry when it comes to drafting players currently? And if it's not much at all, where do you think he's going with that? Do you think he can improve? Do you think he's headed in the right direction? Like, what's your assessment?
I think there is room to improve. Obviously, we're not going to sit here and say his drafting has been perfect. There are guys that are on this team and that have been on this team and aren't on the team currently that have felt like misses, right? But if you go back and look at some of these, especially like the early picks, I think back to the draft where he drafted Greg Newsom and then somehow gets Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah right after. And Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah was a guy that was projected first round. I thought that he was a guy on the board that I thought that Andrew Berry should have taken in that with that first pick. He takes Greg Newsom, and I was like, okay, that's a good pick. That's a solid pick. And I expected Jeremiah to come off the board, you know, before the Browns pick, but he fell, and the Browns, I think, approached that so smart and were able to get both of them. And he's got talented guys that he's brought in through the draft. Grant Delpit has played very well for the Browns, but then you also have to take a track record. The draft process is not, no team is out here selecting every guy, and every guy is just a hit and a win. So I think there's room to improve, but it's a grain of salt too, because there are some guys that will work out, and the value that you take a guy, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. And in the later rounds, which for the past couple of years, that's what the Browns have had, because they traded their first round picks away. And so many of them, didn't have a lot of draft capital. So he's been working with that. But I do, as you said, I think you have to go over the body of work and all of the things and give credit where credit's due. And criticism is fair for sure, but then you look at where this team is in terms of life after a major trade that failed. And Andrew Berry has managed the money in a way that hasn't totally hindered them from going out and signing guys. And everyone said that the Browns would be in cap hell and it wouldn't work. Every year, the Browns are supposed to be in cap hell. And every year, Andrew Berry works with contracts, restructures, and figures things out in a way that the team can still be managed and it's not doom and gloom in Cleveland with one player getting paid and no other talent on the board. And as you mentioned, the trades that he's done, he's had some great trades that I think a lot of people work with. The Darius Smith trade is the first thing that comes to mind. He's had made moves and built things for this Browns franchise that I think can't be overlooked. And so I do have faith. I think this is a time where, you know, he's got this opportunity again. You get a first-round pick, and it's an early first-round pick. This is your chance to kind of show again why you are in this position and prove yourself as this elite GM. He's masterful in terms of how people view him in a lot of circuits, and I think that this is a chance for him to show off some of that skill set, whether it be in his front office and their process in selecting a player or moving around that draft pick. But I'm not, I wasn't out on him. I think this was an unfortunate scenario that a lot of people were involved in to get to this point with the trade for Watson. And now you got to navigate it. And I will be watching to see how that plays out, but I think that you have to give him an opportunity to show that he is able to navigate around it.
You mentioned the salary cap and Andrew Berry managing the money well enough to put the Browns in a position to make moves. I think a lot, and this is just, I think the early assessment from a lot of Browns fans is when it comes to the free agency side of things this year, that the Browns just don't have any money to spend. Now, free agency comes before the draft. Are the Browns cap situation, are they in a situation, in your opinion, to where a move or two, significant move or two, can be made in free agency?
I don't know how significant we're talking, but I think, yeah, I mean, I never count the Browns out of being able to go out and get a player that they need. I think what happened over the past few years since, you know, the Barry and Stefanski regime took over, this culture change we kind of alluded to earlier, has shifted the perception of playing in Cleveland. Now, they've got a little bit of damage control because last season was tough, and that's a hill to climb up of. You got to show people that you are close, and I think Miles and Denzel saying they are very close kind of shows off, yeah, we're not that far. We believe in this too. But I think that the Browns are always in a position where they will find a way, if it's a move that they feel they need and makes sense for them, I feel like they can make these moves happen. I think they've shown the ability, whether it is in these trades that kind of you don't see coming, and are just really handled well with other teams, with the relationship that he's got with other GMs, or just kind of the way that he views the incentive of giving guys new opportunities. But in terms of free agency, I think that he can do a good enough job with restructuring cap space, right, to allow some moves to be made. And that's always been the case. There's always, if something needs done, they're not over the cap. They're not pushing up against the cap. When we really come down to free agency time, they've always had a way to clear up some space and money to make sure that if a move becomes available, significant or maybe minor, that could turn significant, that they are in a position that they can do that. So, yeah, I think that I'll never say no. There's not an option, because I think the Browns have proven, and Andrew Berry has proven, that if they want to make a move, they'll make it.
Cam, thank you for your time. Enjoy the game. Enjoy Atlanta. As soon as I get off air this morning, I'm going to shoot you a text, give you some spots that you can go eat at. Have fun and just make it home safe.
Please, please send me that list. I am dying to try some more food. Everything I've had has been great so far, and I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me on, and we'll talk to you after this game.
All righty. I'll talk to you soon, man. Be careful.
Cool.
Yeah, she's my friend. She's a well-respected coworker. She is Cameron Justice of News Channel 5, joining me right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Cam, first of all, good morning. You are blessed enough to be in Atlanta this morning, getting ready for the national championship game. You know, you're in Atlanta on MLK Day. Let's start here. You know, what does MLK Day mean to you?
Oh, it's amazing, right? Like, just to have a day that everybody takes a moment and really reflects and respects the work that Martin Luther King Jr. did. These are the holidays, right? And it's, some people don't work, but it's a day where you can just think about these things and see the change that he was able to make. It's inspiring. And so to be in Atlanta and you see statues and signs and paintings and murals, and he's everywhere here. So it's really a special Martin Luther King Jr. Day for me, because it's my first time in Atlanta, and to be here on this day is extra cool.
Hey, Atlanta is beautiful. The food is amazing. I don't know how long you're there. I hope you've been to Papa Do's while you're there. It's this place, Yellow Mellow Pizza. They're really, really good too. I can go. I'm gonna text you after this interview.
Please give me a list of recommendations. Make sure that I don't have to walk anywhere though, because despite being south of Ohio, I am freezing. It is so cold here, and I'm very glad. I know, very controversial in Cleveland, but I am very glad that this game is being played in a dome.
Oh man, I just bet. I just bet. I heard the Mercedes-Benz Dome is a beautiful place and things and whatnot. Let's start with Ohio State. What is the atmosphere like, right? We are heavy favorites, which is kind of scary to me. But, you know, you got Marcus Freeman, Ohio native like you and I, former Buckeye, you know, first black guy to actually coach his team in the national championship game. So it's a historic day for him, leading a story program, like the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, against a story program like our Ohio State Buckeyes. Like, this is a clash of the titans. history wise, but it looks like on paper Ohio State is going to dominate.
Yeah, it does. And but you never know, right? Once you're here, you never know. And Notre Dame has earned this spot. They have fought really hard to be here. And we know that Ohio State is a powerhouse. They've been a powerhouse this season, aside, you know, from a moment that a lot of people don't want to think about anymore. And so I think on paper, Ohio State has this game. But anything can happen, and you have to make sure you are coaching your best and your players are performing the way that they do. Don't do anything too crazy. We know it works with this team. But I do think it could be a good game. I think I don't foresee Notre Dame rolling over. I think that they will obviously fight, and I'm excited for hopefully some good football. But I think it's really a really cool matchup for when college football playoffs started. I texted some friends and I was like, you know what? I really hope we get Ohio State, Notre Dame. How crazy would that be? And here we are. So I'm excited. I got some friends who are fighting Irish fans that I'm kind of making sure I am throwing some jabs at.
Yeah, man. It's going to be a fun game to watch. I just hope we come away victorious. I'll be joined by Tyvus Powell in the next hour, and Tyvus is the last one who actually won a national championship, so hopefully he can paint the scene for us. Let's move on to the Browns, and speaking of, you know, colleges and drafts and things like that, you know, there's been mixed evaluations from experts when it comes to Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. In your opinion, would either quarterback be a good fit for the Browns considering their current roster and offensive systems?
So hard to say, and I think we've talked about this before. It's just, yeah, I think that where the Browns are at right now, they have every opportunity to select one of those guys and still take a veteran quarterback and maybe help shape these guys. I don't know if they are looking at Sanders and Ward and thinking one of these guys is ready to go right now off the jump. They could be. I do think that we've seen, aside from one quarterback, we've seen Kevin Stefanski and his offense really be able to get the most out of guys. And I believe that if they did draft either one of them, the Browns would be in a good position, and they'd be able to see where they're at. And Stefanski, I think, in his offense and the way he operates, would be really good for that. And I do think that maybe a shift back to a similar offense from before last season would be good for either player. I am still not sure if they do draft them, if they trade back and take another player and focus on a quarterback next year is still an option. It remains to be seen, but I think that they are in a place as an organization that either one could be developed in this offense and with the system that they have, if it's back to where it was before last season.
That's interesting. That's an interesting reply, you know, because I think over the last week, maybe week or two, we've heard Myles Garrett on Hard Knocks say, you know, I've talked to Andrew Berry, and I don't feel like we're that far away. Denzel Ward comes out and says, you know, if we just solidify the quarterback position, then we're not that far away. We can make a run at things. And to hear your response to that, you know, I just wonder what was the message? What was the conversation between Andrew Berry and some of these veteran leaders on this team at that end of the season meeting, because guys who were searching for a plan seemingly came away or walked away convinced that, you know what, Andrew Berry has one.
I'm sure he has a plan. And I think that they are close. I truly do. When guys like that are talking about the quarterback position, and it's not just those vets, it's the, you know, end of the season locker clean out. You had Joel Bitonio saying the same thing. You had Jack Conklin saying the same thing, that, you know, they did too much to fit around one player, and that was the quarterback. And so I don't necessarily think that Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward saying we have to figure out this quarterback situation and being satisfied with the plan from Andrew Berry indicates quite literally anything, to be honest. But what I think it does is I think the Browns have as a franchise, as an organization, have finally been able to admit that this trade for Deshaun Watson didn't work. And now the plan, whatever it may be, whether it's drafting the quarterback with the number two pick or going out and bringing someone in that they believe can get them to that next step, just at least for now, I think that there is a confidence that the Browns are going to do something to address that quarterback position. And that probably is enough for a lot of these guys just to know that there's a focus, because for the past, you know, three seasons, it hasn't been the case. They made their move to get Deshaun Watson and wanted it to work, and then it didn't, and wanted it to work again, and it didn't. So now I think the plan just has to be addressing that position in some capacity and moving on from a failed attempt and what hasn't been a successful situation at quarterback despite the best efforts and the hopes after trading for Watson.
This morning we've been, you know, having a spirited conversation about Andrew Berry's track record when it comes to drafting players. And I'm just going to try to set this up before I let you cook. But, you know, as I was having this conversation, I was one of the people that, you know, the fan in me came out, and I said emotionally, I said, you know, I don't know who's calling the shots. I don't know who's pulling the strings. But, you know, since Kevin and Andrew Berry keep telling me this is the collective effort, then both of y'all asses need to collectively be fired for what happened last year. Now, that didn't happen. And since then, I've kind of walked back those comments because I respect them both as people. And you never really feel that comfortable calling for somebody's job. This morning, I went over assessing everything that comes with his job and looking at everything that he's done as a general manager. He's developed front office guys that has went on and got jobs elsewhere, right? He's created a culture of you know, stability and growth and development and other areas that are not necessarily on a football field. And when it comes to acquiring talent, I think he's masterful at trades. I think that's his best way. I think when it comes to spending money and free agency, I think he's blew a little bit of money that I look at, you know, John Johnson III, Troy Hill, just to be examples. But when I look at the drafts, Cam, he's been average to me. And I look at that and I say, okay, with him, the good still outweighs the bad. How much faith do you have in Andrew Berry when it comes to drafting players currently? And if it's not much at all, where do you think he's going with that? Do you think he can improve? Do you think he's headed in the right direction? Like, what's your assessment?
I think there is room to improve. Obviously, we're not going to sit here and say his drafting has been perfect. There are guys that are on this team and that have been on this team and aren't on the team currently that have felt like misses, right? But if you go back and look at some of these, especially like the early picks, I think back to the draft where he drafted Greg Newsome and then somehow gets Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah right after. And Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah was a guy that was projected first round. I thought that he was a guy on the board that I thought that Andrew Berry should have taken with that first pick. He takes Greg Newsome, and I was like, okay, that's a good pick. That's a solid pick. And I expected Jeremiah to come off the board, you know, before the Browns pick, but he fell, and the Browns, I think, approached that so smart and were able to get both of them. And he's got talented guys that he's brought in through the draft. Grant Delpit has played very well for the Browns, but then you also have to take a track record. The draft process is not, no team is out here selecting every guy, and every guy is just a hit and a win. So I think there's room to improve, but it's a grain of salt too, because there are some guys that will work out, and the value that you take a guy, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. And in the later rounds, which for the past couple of years, that's what the Browns have had, because they traded their first round picks away. And so many of them, they didn't have a lot of draft capital. So he's been working with that. But I do, as you said, I think you have to go over the body of work and all of the things and give credit where credit's due. And criticism is fair for sure, but then you look at where this team is in terms of life after a major trade that failed. And Andrew Berry has managed the money in a way that hasn't totally hindered them from going out and signing guys. And everyone said that the Browns would be in cap hell and it wouldn't work. Every year, the Browns are supposed to be in cap hell. And every year, Andrew Berry works with contracts, restructures, and figures things out in a way that the team can still be managed and it's not doom and gloom in Cleveland with one player getting paid and no other talent on the board. And as you mentioned, the trades that he's done, he's had some great trades that I think a lot of people are excited. The Darius Smith trade is the first thing that comes to mind. He's had made moves and built things for this Browns franchise that I think can't be overlooked. And so I do have faith. I think this is a time where, you know, he's got this opportunity again. You get a first-round pick, and it's an early first-round pick. This is your chance to kind of show again why you are in this position and prove yourself as this elite GM. He's masterful in terms of how people view him in a lot of circuits, and I think that this is a chance for him to show off some of that skill set, whether it be in his front office and their process in selecting a player or moving around that draft pick. But I'm not, I wasn't out on him. I think this was an unfortunate scenario that a lot of people were involved in to get to this point with the trade for Watson. And now you got to navigate it. And I will be watching to see how that plays out, but I think that you have to give him an opportunity to show that he is able to navigate around it.
You mentioned the salary cap and Andrew Berry managing the money well enough to put the Browns in a position to make moves. I think a lot, and this is just, I think the early assessment from a lot of Browns fans is when it comes to the free agency side of things this year, that the Browns just don't have any money to spend. Now, free agency comes before the draft. Are the Browns cap situation, are they in a situation, in your opinion, to where a move or two, significant move or two, can be made in free agency?
I don't know how significant we're talking, but I think, yeah, I mean, I never count the Browns out of being able to go out and get a player that they need. I think what happened over the past few years since, you know, the Berry and Stefanski regime took over, this culture change we kind of alluded to earlier has shifted the perception of playing in Cleveland. Now they've got a little bit of damage control because last season was tough, and that's a hill to climb up of. You got to show people that you are close, and I think Miles and Denzel saying they are very close kind of shows off, yeah, we're not that far. We believe in this too, but I think that the Browns are always in a position where they will find a way, if it's a move that they feel they need and makes sense for them, I feel like they can make these moves happen. I think they've shown the ability, whether it is in these trades that kind of you don't see coming and are just really handled well with other teams, with the relationship that he's got with other GMs, or just kind of the way that he views the incentive of giving guys new opportunities. But in terms of free agency, I think that he can do a good enough job with restructuring cap space, right, to allow some moves to be made. And that's always been the case. There's always, if something needs done, they're not over the cap. They're not pushing up against the cap. When we really come down to free agency time, they've always had a way to clear up some space and money to make sure that if a move becomes available, significant or maybe minor, that could turn significant, that they are in a position that they can do that. So yeah, I think that I'll never say no, there's not an option, because I think the Browns have proven, and Andrew Berry has proven, that if they want to make a move, they'll make it.
Cam, thank you for your time. Enjoy the game. Enjoy Atlanta. As soon as I get off air this morning, I'm going to shoot you a text, give you some spots that you can go eat at. Have fun and just make it home safe.
Please send me that list. I am dying to try some more food. Everything I've had has been great so far, and I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me on, and we'll talk to you after this game.
Alrighty. I'll talk to you soon, man. Be careful. Right back at it right here on 92.3 The Fan. Let's go straight out to the phones. Lewis and Shaker, what's up, my man? Good morning.
What's up, dude? Three things, Earl. Three things.
Yes.
The Ravens game. Was the fix on yesterday? I've never seen a tight end have the worst game of his life. How can he drop that 2-point conversion?
Yo, I was just looking at a I was looking at a reel, and it was from Ruben Studdard. And it had Mark Andrews. It had Mark Andrews. It was the part. It's like I missed the shot. It's like I dropped the ball. Damn, I'm sorry.
OMG, I'm shaking my hands. I'm like, yeah, overtime. You know, the Ravens gonna pull this out, and he drops the ball.
Yo,
like,
listen. I seen Mark Andrews drop 2 passes and fumble in the same game, and I've never seen that before.
I hope they ain't listening in Vegas.
Yo,
the Knicks was on yesterday, man.
I'm just saying, Rashad Bateman, we can see that. Mark Andrews, ain't no way.
No.
Ain't no way.
Here's number 2. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Y'all ready for tonight? I am actually rooting, and you won't hear this often, rooting for Ohio State to win.
Oh.
Because you know I'm a Michigan man.
I know you is. Did you want to see Ryan Day stay employed? What's going on with this?
Of course I do, because he can't be Michigan. I want him to stay. I love him.
Yeah, this game don't scare me at all. I will say if there's one thing about this game that I can say, it worries me how heavy of a favorite we are. Like you talk about it's almost like it's so much money going towards Ohio State.
Uh-huh.
That is scary.
So with that being said, you might want to take Notre Dame if you're a betting man.
Yo, so let me ask you this. What did you think about Kansas City? What did you think about that bull job that happened at the end of that Chiefs game?
You know what? I missed it. Because I didn't really watch it, I heard about it. And
the punter ran out of – they was up by 11, and the punter, instead of punting the ball, he ran out the back of the end zone.
It was a good explanation for it. So, I mean, that was like a sound and logic play. You know, so they couldn't return the ball and onside kick it, whatever. So, apparently, that was a good play.
I guess. All I know is if I'm Mark Andrews today, man – you know, in all seriousness, though, like, because there's a lot of memes, there's a lot of jokes, but Mark Andrews is one of the most respected football players that I've seen. His career, I mean, whew, but that's a tough moment, and you've seen him. You've seen how dejected he was on the sideline. Like,
oh, my goodness.
It's going to be scary hours, because I'm pretty sure redemption is on his mind.
Yep. And last but not least, Earl, it is MLK Day.
Yes.
And I was 5 when he was assassinated. And I remember going to get my mother from work because my mother could not stop crying. And then I don't remember the riots, but if you go through Cleveland, particularly in the Huff and Glenville area, if you know what to look for, you still see, you know, remnants of the riot. It's like the man has so much influence over a nation. It's eerie. I mean, I still remember when we were not allowed to walk up Little Italy. We as black people. I mean, when I go to the Feast of the Assumption, I still feel uneasy, but not as much as I did in the past. So, I mean, as a nation, we have come a long way, but, you know, we still have
so far
know,
to
a
go.
Long way
so
to go.
So far to go. It's funny.
Go.
Don't hang up.
If it wasn't for him, Earl, if it wasn't for him, you would not be sitting there. I mean, I would not have managed when I did. A lot of opportunities that we have now is because of that man.
Yeah. You know, just stay with me for a minute, Lewis. So, you know, my father passed away April 4th, 2018, 50 years to the date that Martin Luther King was assassinated. And I told James and Aunt the speech that he gave the night before, you know, I've been to the mountaintop. And, you know, we talked about the selflessness of MLK and, you know, to be able to put in that type of work and to have a vision that's much bigger than your lifespan will ever be, you know, to look in this room and, you know, see Anthony and see James and see myself. And this was always what he wanted to see, that type of inclusion of all us being together. And I truly, truly understand, you know, the magnitude of the civil rights movement and how, even though I was not even thought of at said time, the impact that it has on the opportunities that I have now, the things that I get to do now. And that's why it was, you know, when I was asked if I wanted to do this today, mind you, this was a paid holiday off for me elsewhere.
I'm at work too.
Yeah, and I wanted to do this because for me, you know, I understand what type of time it is. I understand what I do, and I understand that when it comes to this particular profession in this city, I'm in a minority. And so I take pride. I take pride on days like this being asked to step on a mic and host. And that's why you've heard, you know, the different quotes from MLK. My favorite speech from MLK, the Life's Blueprint, all day long, because it's important. And I know the Cavs play today. I know Ohio State plays today. I know a presidential inauguration is going on today. And for me, I just wanted to make sure that Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., did not get lost in everything else that was going on today.
And Earl, here's what the old folks say, and this is eerie. They said after he gave that speech, they said he knew he was going to die. They said he knew he was going to die after that speech.
Yeah.
And he got killed the next day. Yeah. That is so eerie.
Yeah. So it's a powerful thing, but, you know, powerful men, and it's about that legacy, right? And that's what you want legacy to be. You want your name to ring out 50, 60, 70, 80 years, man, long after you was gone, man. Hey, Lewis, be great today, man. Enjoy the Cavs game. I get to actually say this to you probably for the only time ever. Go Buckeyes.
Hey, I'm actually going to go to a bar and watch the game. I'm going to wear my Michigan shirt. I'm going to talk smack. I'm probably going to get beat up on the way out the bar, man.
Hey, you know what, man? I might shoot the floods up in Warrensville across the street from the school, man. I'll let you know.
You know. One of my frat brothers on that spot. I might be up there. All right, man. Let me get on here and get to work.
All right, man. Take care, man. Enjoy work. Shout out to Lewis and Shaker, man. I love phone calls like that. 5 years old at the time of the assassination. You know, that's tough.
The fact that he remembers that, you know, the brain is a funny thing, man, the way it holds on to that. He remembers picking up his mom from work and just her being just unconsolable, you know, it just sticks with you, man. You know, almost like that. They never leave you.
They never leave you, man. Let's get to Ryan in downtown. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I want to thank you guys for playing those MLK clips today. I'll say the only thing better than the sound of his, you know, silky smooth, like preacher voice is the words, you know, coming out of his mouth. So thank you for doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for just making those comments, man. This is a day to where, you know, the more inclusion, the better, because this is something that he wanted. So here we are.
Yeah, and I shudder to think what would have happened to our country if he didn't come around. It could have gone, you know, a very dangerous, different way if it wasn't for his influence on everybody.
Facts. What you got for me, man, on the Browns and Andrew Berry having some positives?
So for AB, I want to give just be real about the positives and the negatives. First of all, I think on trades, he might be one of the best GMs in the business as far as trading. He gave away a fifth round for Amari Cooper, had some great years, and then got a third for him when he was on the downside. And he really hasn't even done that much in Buffalo. So add in the Jerry Jeudy, he made that trade, signed him long-term, and that looks like a huge win. Also, another thing that he's good at is managing cap. Now, some of that's the owner being willing to write those checks, but, like, what he's been able to do with managing the cap is pretty legit as well. So I want to, you know, give him credit where credit's due. I think I'm with you guys, or somebody said, like, me, you know, maybe he should bump up and leave the draft to somebody else, because I think maybe we're being a little too lenient on the draft. I would not say it's average. I'd say maybe C- or D+. And for me, I think Wills is a C-, D+. If you remember, that was like the eighth pick of the draft. He was the first tackle off the board. We could have had Tristan Wirfs, who's been a perennial pro bowler and is an all-pro this year. So, you know, I think that one's a miss. And I think we already talked about guys like Schwartz and Bell, Felton. He drafted a kicker in the fourth round who we had to end up getting cut. And then that kicker came back and beat us with the Bengals. So, you know, the guys like IKEA or whatever, the defensive tackle that barely got on the field. The weird thing about Barry drafting is, like, he has some gems in the late rounds, but the early rounds, not so great, and then some real misses also in there. So I'm just trying to be real on, you know, what he's good at and what he's not good at, but just not enough hits, I think. And I'd bring somebody else in to help them do the draft if it was up to me, guys.
Big fact. Hey, Ryan, man, I appreciate the phone call. I appreciate all those kind comments, man. Go Buckeyes. Have a great day. Enjoy it and stay warm, all right?
You too, guys. Thanks.
All righty. Speaking of Buckeyes, when we come back, my homeboy, you hear him, what Jeff Phelps, you know, after every Browns game, man, he is the national championship game MVP. He is Tyvis Powell coming up next right here on 92.3 The Fan.